This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by Hamish Smith. What have we got on the show this week, Hamish?
Coming up on the show, we'll have our invisible backpack check-in, and then we'll be speaking to drummer of Dead Wet Things and friend of the show, Chinny.
Should we get into it?
I think we should get right into it.
Saddle up your horses, cowboy. For the only men's issue show in all of radio. The Toolbox. This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by...
Because he's my best friend, he's my pal, he's my homeboy, my rotten soldier, he's my sweet cheese, my good time boy.
Would you mind my good time boy, Hamish Smith?
It's been a very long time since you've played that, I almost forgot it existed.
Well, I couldn't let you have it too good for too long, could I?
I don't know if I love or hate that or, like little clip or not.
Oh, my rotten soldier.
They're hideous nicknames.
Now, Hamish, we're not alone in the studio, are we?
No, we are not.
Who have we got?
We have got, well, we said it in the intro, we have got drummer of Dead Wet Things.
You.
We have got friend of the show, Chinny. Welcome back
yes,
to the Toolbox.
It is great to be back, boys.
You're our day one. You were
yes,
it all
it was literally, yeah. You could say like I'm quite vintage now to the Toolbox, if you will. But yeah, I'm back. I'm back to explain everything that's been going on over the past year, but we'll get into that soon, I'm sure. How are you doing, boys? All good?
Yeah, we're absolutely fantastic. Shall we jump right into our invisible backpack check-ins?
I would love to. So, for anyone who's not familiar, the Invisible Backpack is mine and Hamish's way of checking in with each other. It's non-analytical, it's not clinical, it's just to give a general sense of where we are. Everyone's got an invisible backpack. It could be really heavy, it could be really light, or it could be somewhere in between. It's just full of everything that occupies your life, your mental health, your physical health. It could be money, it could be body image, self-esteem, anxiety. It could be good things like a promotion at work or something good happening in your family or anything, but it's just sort of what we use to say how we're getting on.
Yeah, straight from the horse's mouth.
So Hamish,
yep,
how's your backpack?
You know what, it's been a good week. In fact, you know what, it's been quite a strange week, but it's been a good one. I've had, you know, more ups than downs, shall we say. The big thing was I went to go see Lana Del Rey in Glasgow at Hampden, which was quite a surreal experience. I don't think I'll ever go see Lana Del Rey again, but while I had that opportunity, like, yeah. I wasn't going to pass it up.
Why not?
Did she play Dark Paradise?
No, she didn't. She didn't.
I would have been irate if that.
She was late. That was one of the bad things. She was running late, so she actually skipped two songs at the end, and one of them was a fan request one, which she never did. Which was a bit heartbreaking, but you know what? Fantastic gig. We'll probably never get the chance to see her again. The kind of funny, awkward thing about that was I went with my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
it was her Christmas present, and I thought, I'm not going to pass up, you know, that good of a
gift. Definitely not. No.
So that was good. As you know, a lot of people know, the time, my time, Rolly, your time as well. It's coming to an end here in Sunderland.
It is. Not long to go.
Not long to go now.
Ooh.
I know. It's heartbreaking to leave.
It is. We're going to have to like have some sort of funeral for his going away.
Anyway, my dad came down and helped me. Like he took away a lot of my things. One of those things was my PlayStation and monitor, and I don't know how I'm going to go the next month without my PlayStation and monitor.
Is this why you've started speaking to me in the flat again?
Start being social.
I appear in the doorway, just bored out of my mind. I have nothing to do. But on the positive of that, I started going back to the gym.
Nice.
So we've made a positive out of what feels like a negative. So you know what? Like, it's been a good week. I feel like I've done a lot of things. So it's an empty backpack.
I have a question related to yours, but it's best aimed at Chinny, because as we're probably going to hear from Chinny, he's recently played 2 gigs in one day. But with Lana Del Rey like being late and everything else,
mm-hmm.
it must be quite difficult with managing like a tour schedule to go from like doing a stadium show at Anfield the night before to then going to Hampden Park, like on someone who's like sort of lower down the touring level.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably better to sort of understand like the logistics of gigging.
Yeah, it'd be quite difficult. Organising tours is probably the hardest thing. Knowing what cities to hit, like at certain times, you know, like most bands will work from the top of the country to the bottom of the country, or they'll plot gigs that are easy routes to get to in between. So like, for example, somebody will play Leeds, Manchester, Birmingham, London, work the way down, do you know what I mean? Even if it's a mini tour. But the only one I'd done recently was in Scotland. But obviously I filled in for TJ, didn't I?
Yeah.
When I played them once, and I had to come back and do a gig with Dead Wet Things as well, and it absolutely killed us having to travel backwards and forwards all the time. But yeah, I think it's logistics plays a massive part in it. That's all it is, really. As long as you're not travelling too far in between gigs. But I'm assuming if you're someone like Lana Del Rey, you can get like a helicopter to Leeds or something like that, you know what I mean? But
I think she's a bit well known for turning up on her own time, like
she's tardy.
She works on Lana time.
Yeah. Quite literally. But that is, yeah, I think we can kind of close my backpack for this week. It's pretty empty. It's been a fun, good week.
Well, it would seem natural, based off that, to throw it to Chinny. How's your backpack been the last week or so?
Like you said, last weekend, 2 gigs, one in Stockton and then one back in Sunderland. Quite hectic. I've done 2 gigs in one day before, but it was years ago. And yeah, I think it was, like, when we got to Stockton, I was absolutely fine, ready to play the gig, because I have a good drink when I gig. Like, I'm not going to lie, it helps with my nerves, especially with the way my anxiety's been as well. I've had to have something to make sure I can approach the stage in the right way, do you know what I mean? But yeah, Stockton was fine. Might have had one too many cans of Stella, then went to the Ivy, and can't really remember
the funding either. Stop.
Yeah, I can't really remember the Stockton gig now or the Ivy, but apparently we played a blinder.
The Ivy gig was class. I was there.
Yeah, apparently we've had some great feedback from it. After that, just same old for me, taking the kid to the nursery, coming home, working, because I work from home, so grafting from home. And that's been about it, really. We've been doing some little bits with Dead Wet Things, recording videos with Andy Wilkinson, so we've been finishing them off. But there's always planning ahead, always doing bits of plan ahead. But yeah, that's pretty much me for the past couple of weeks. It's been anywhere, yeah.
Do you find that like being in that routine has helped you like the last week or two?
Yeah, like? I think having something on your mind is always great, isn't it? Something to distract you. But like, it's been a bit of a struggle for me the past couple of months. Just with my health anxiety and everything, like. So that's what triggered it, my health anxiety.
Yeah.
I've just been in my own head the past couple of months, and I've always thought, like, if I've got something on my mind, it can help. But, like, it's been dreadful. Intrusive thoughts. I've had it all. Literally every symptom has hit us, and I don't think it's ever hit us as bad. So I just haven't been able to concentrate. But them 2 gigs literally did make a huge change. Do you know what I mean?
It's because that's like ultimately, this is one of the reasons why I love like Dead Wet Things as well, apart from the music being great and the live show being amazing.
Yeah.
It's in terms of bands, the only 2 bands, musicians and stuff who've had in, everyone is normally like, oh yeah, you know, I just love music, Dead Wet Things and Tearjerker actually are the only 2 bands or sets of musicians who've been in and been like, how we want to be famous.
I'm like
refreshing honesty.
Do I want to be famous? Sort of ish. Do I want the band to get the recognition they deserved? Yes. Do I want to be famous? Meh. It's like the famous thing is the worry what Pablo's going to do. If that does happen, you know, that's always in the back of my head. But
the lights will up.
It would be nice to get the recognition from what I think. I'm not blowing my own trumpet. Like, I would never say, my band's amazing or anybody like that, but I think we've worked hard enough and we've had a good amount of feedback off people that I know that won't truly get somewhere. So
in the last 12 months, you've played on the same stage as Miles Kane. You've been played, and you've been played on Kerrang.
Yeah, exactly. We're being booked for some amazing gigs as well. Like coming up, like we're playing the Parade Ground in the Fire Station with Ferocious Dog and Gimfist.
Oh, when's that?
August 18th, something like that.
Might have to go to that one, you know.
Yeah.
Ferocious Dog, incredible live.
Yeah, they're the headliners that day as well. And then we've got Northeast Calling in October, which is like there's loads of amazing bands on that. You'll have to have a look at the lineup. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's my backpack, invisible backpack, whatever it is. Yeah, it's like closed.
Can't compete with that one, like.
Rolly, I mean, it's just you now to round us off for the invisible backpack check-ins.
I've had the summer leggy, so it's been a trying week. I've just been, you know, when you go to bed feeling like all right, but every morning you wake up and you've just got like a little bit of a cold.
Yeah.
But it's the summer and it's boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was hay fever, but actually I think...
But I was just about to say, is it not hay fever?
I'm probably just run down. Like, even though I don't seem to do a lot, I'm just like, my insomnia has been kicking off. Like,
listen, mate, that walk down to the saltgrass is no joke. Like,
yeah, that is true.
Try doing that three times a week.
That's exactly what I'm saying, aye.
I'm the only person who's guaranteed to walk out of there sober. Just because I work it, but yeah,
it is like some leg workout,
because basically, right, like Hamish has been away and stuff, and I've been working. So last week was a pre-record, but it was actually a pre-record for the week before, and there was a problem with the system, so it didn't go out. So it was a good show, we wanted people to hear it, so we put out last week, so
yeah.
Sort of, we haven't done a proper backpack check-in for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird not, you know, having a proper sit-down and a good chat.
Yeah.
We should have talked about the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but...
We've done it wrong.
Yeah, no, I took me girlfriend to your gig on Saturday, you met her, didn't I?
Yeah, met her.
But yeah, if you don't remember the gig, you won't remember that.
All I can remember is seeing yous. Can't remember what was said or anything. Like, I've said the same thing to loads of people. Like, everyone was like, oh, I came up to you, seeing you. We spoke for like a good 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, really?
She walked away being like, he's lovely.
That's what we're like to hear.
Yeah. And then she turned around and it turns out that she used to work with Daddy Riddell's girlfriend as well.
Really? Lauren?
So.
There's always something there. It's a very, very small world.
It is.
Sunderland especially, like, there's always a connection to someone somewhere.
It was, to be honest, it was like, for my ego, it was amazing. Because with us doing the show on a Sunday night, like, I just can't really get over to the cereal ball gigs at the vault. So, like, it's all dipping and out. If there's, like, a week where, like, Hamish goes back to Scotland or something, I'll pop in for a bit just to say hi and then be like, right, I'm going to go now. But, like, it was nice to walk in. Almost everyone was like, hey!
It was nice to see you, mate. Honestly, it really was.
So my ego was up here, walking out. And then we were sat down at the table when... Pabs was on the bar.
Pablo.
Yeah.
I mean, he did say that he wants to, because obviously there's a lot of changes happening in the Ivy at the minute. They're not going to go ahead with many gigs anymore. There's been some changes to the management and stuff like that. So Pablo was like, we want to send it off properly. It probably cost somebody £50 for a light bulb on the bar, because that...
Well, the bigger you get, the bigger the lights will be.
Exactly. But yeah, he has said, and it's not really like Pablo to come out with like a full-on apology video, but I was like, don't really need to apologise, mate. Like, when you're playing, the adrenaline gets a hold of you, and it's like, you can't really blame yourself, you know?
I didn't see it was an accident. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I was there, and like, literally, like, despite, like, if you don't know him, you might think he's like
always said that me
insane always. And wild.
Yes, yeah.
But like, if you actually, like, I was there, and he was literally just trying not to get hit in the head by a light.
Yeah.
And it was literally the most gentle, like moving it out the way, and it just mustn't have been in properly.
Insane. But it was great to see you, mate. I'm really glad you come.
Yeah.
Would have been nice to see Hamish there, like.
Well, you were teasing about maybe coming.
When was it? Oh, yeah. So
last Saturday.
Yeah. So I'd finished work, and in my head, I was like, I'm going to go big walk today. And I walked myself to Penshaw Monument.
Oh, well, you know, I can't really blame you, mate. That'll do it.
It was probably my last chance to see you live, so I'm kind of kicking myself about that.
You'll get a chance again. Just come down, man, again. You know what I mean? Of course you will.
It's cheap trains and that.
We'll sort you out.
Do you think that your band will ever be bigger than the National Trust?
I can't really say it, to be honest with you. It would be nice to get involved with the National Trust. They will, a gig for the animals in the woodland. Yeah. But yeah,
That was the Invisible Backpack. We're going to come back after this. It is Big Toilet Spenders and Weekend Offenders by Dead Wet Things.
Dead Wet Things here on Spark. You're listening to The Toolbox with me, Hamish Smith, and of course I'm joined, as always, by your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney.
We are indeed, and we are here today to talk to good day one friend of the show, Chinny. Chinny, similarly to myself, has had his ups and downs with his mental health, and it's fair to say you've been having a tough time of it over the last few months.
Probably the worst I've had. Should I just start from the beginning? I guess it was because I've suffered with health anxiety, so whenever I think there's something wrong, panic myself and worry probably about nothing, you know, could be anything. And it sounds crazy, but I was waking up in the morning and my right eye was going really funny, couldn't really see anything, started to get really blurry, and I was thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm going blind, or like something like that. So I think that's what triggered my anxiety. That was a loop all the time, just really worrying about it. Anyway, that sort of went away, and then I started to see my symptoms of anxiety coming back that I had before, the air hunger, intrusive thoughts, everything like that. And I genuinely thought, I've never had intrusive thoughts before. It's not something I've had when I've struggled with it. Do you know what I mean? It's one of the things, and it was awful.
I've only been conscious of having them twice. Mm-hmm. The first time was when it was the thing that made me go and get the help initially.
Yeah.
Because I was literally just walking the dog down the road, and like, I never would have done it, but I had the thought in my head where a bus was coming the other way.
Yeah.
And it was just, you could step in front of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in denial for so long, but I mean, in terms of you coming to terms with your health anxiety and stuff.
Yeah. I sort of know I've had it, and I know it's going to happen again in the future, sort of thing. But going back to the intrusive thoughts, mate, it's literally exactly what you've just said. I was doing all my coping mechanisms, going out for walks, like trying to meditate a little bit, going through breathing exercises, stuff like that. But I think the more I was in my own head, the worse it was getting. So I was having the intrusive thoughts, and then it was like I was thinking I was going mental. I genuinely thought I was going mad. And it was like basically what I got told at CBT was, everybody has intrusive thoughts. It's about how you deal with them. Most people will get them and say, well, what the hell was that? That was weird, do you know what I mean? And then some people will go, oh my God, why am I thinking like that? And it'll loop over, and that was me.
Yeah.
It just made it so much worse. Weren't sleeping, waking up, and if I was sleeping, I was having a couple hours sleeping, waking up so much more actions, anxious, and my body was just in flight or fight mode, you know what I mean? It was awful.
So, in terms, not to sort of, I guess you can only compare it to bouts you've had before. So, how come it felt so much worse this time?
It was just being in my own head so much. Normally, I'd just tell myself it's my anxiety, and my coping mechanisms will work eventually. But it didn't matter what I did, just wouldn't shift. Couldn't get it shifted. Eventually, I went to CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, and they basically turned around. They were amazing, mind. I would recommend that to anybody who's going through a tough time.
Yeah, what was the moment that made you kind of want to take that step and go reach out to someone? And
literally what I've just said, mate, the intrusive thoughts. That was the one thing. Yeah.
Same as Rolly, kind of, with the bus, because it was enough to make you go.
Yeah.
It was just so scary, mate. Like, I was like, why am I thinking like this sort of thing, you know?
Sometimes you can discern like an intrusive thought by being like, no, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the want where you're like, okay, I need to go and get this sorted, is when your brain doesn't question it and you're just like, because like with the bus one, the scary thing was, I wasn't like, no, that's stupid. I recognized it was a bad one to have.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, that's not normal. Like,
yeah.
And then I was lucky enough where, because that was a time when I was really erratic as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, especially like when I'm properly miserable, I have a prodigious drinking arm.
Yeah.
And that is no fun for anyone around me.
Definitely.
Like, and it's one of those where, like, I haven't really drank this year.
Yeah.
I like a couple of pints here and there, but they've been celebrating something off for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, the reason hasn't just been the drink, but...
I hit the drink quite heavy as well, during the time as well. Like, got straight back on the pints all the time, which I was doing really well. I was out running, really looking after myself. And I've just had to cut that out because of the air hunger as well. I don't know if you've suffered with that before. Air hunger is basically, it's a symptom of anxiety, but it makes you feel like you can't take a deep breath.
Okay.
And your breathing goes really skew-whiff off it.
Wow, yeah.
So I dare not go out running now in case I suffer with that. And it's like, it just really turned my life around massively. Still got the air hunger now. I'm literally, when I first walked in here, I was suffering with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just comes and goes, but yeah, I definitely know it's my anxiety, so.
What was the impact on your relationships with other people?
All right, I went really quiet, but I sort of, it's hard to explain, you know, because when I'm in other people's company, it sort of takes my mind off things. That's the only thing. If I'm just talking to somebody and I'm getting the reaction there and then. But, like, I don't know, damage. I was just crying all the time, really emotional. I'm not scared. I admit it, you know. I was going home, I was breaking down because I genuinely thought I was going crazy. But once I've been clued up on intrusive thoughts and what they are and that they're a part of my anxiety, it all sort of fit together. So I've struggled with it in the past before, you know, so...
And you, like, you live with your partner and you've got two kids.
Yes.
So in terms then of trying to, you know, just move forward every day and function, especially within the family.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, do you put yourself under pressure when your anxiety goes bad?
Yeah, because I've got to be there either which way. I'm one of these people who will not shut myself away no matter what, especially on my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, this time around, I really did just want to say, right, just close the door for a bit. I need some time to myself, but I don't get that opportunity, you know? It's really difficult to get that opportunity. But no, it's just one of them things. You can't really stop doing that. The kids have got to go to nursery. I've got to look after them.
Yeah.
I've got to be there for Ashley. She works, I work, so couldn't do it. So I was sort of suffering. I'm just quite lucky that my job are understanding as well. And they're very great with mental health and they give us some time off, some bits like that, you know, so... Mm.
A good HR team can make the world a difference.
Oh, without a doubt. Me manager as well. Like, he was just so understanding. He's been through the same thing himself. And he was just saying, look, if you need to take some time away from your computer, if you need to talk, we've got, like, Vitality there. We've got private health, like, GP appointments, private mental health appointments. So, yeah,
I can imagine
couldn't
that
ask
was,
for more.
That was really helpful.
It was.
Know?
Amazing, yeah.
Especially with the waiting list for everything now.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
What is it now? It was a year in January, so it's like, let's just say for argument's sake, it's like 18 months now.
Yeah,
I have been waiting 18 months for an ADHD assessment. Like,
it's in.
Yeah, it's all of it.
I had a buddy who, he was on the list and it was finally his time to get seen. First appointment, he comes in and, you know, they kind of start talking about, you know, the first appointment kind of things. And, you know, he admits to having a, like, bit of a drug problem. And from there, he gets told, you can't continue this until, you know, you've done this kind of program, at which point you go back to the bottom of the list.
That's the thing that's going to, like, annoy me with moving back to Liverpool.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm going to tell the Sunderland, like, NHS Trust that I'm moving back.
Better hope they're not listening.
Yeah, I'm sure they
that's exactly what I was thinking when you said that.
How funny would it be if they were like, you're a bloke struggling with, like, your mental health. There's this great Sunday night show. The lads are so compassionate.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but it's just a tough old dog, isn't it? Like, just trying to navigate the system anyway.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't
think, to be honest, when I went for my GP appointment through this, I don't think they sort of understood. Even though I had a history of anxiety and it'll have all been down on my medical records, I still don't really think the doctor understood truly what I was going through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I was explaining all my symptoms and was just like, anxiety, there's some tablets. And I was like, well, I don't want to take them. I'm really against taking things like Sertraline and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm not getting involved with that, not going in that again. But I still don't really think they truly understood what was happening.
We spoke to the head of the psychology school, Becky Owens.
Yeah.
And she was saying, especially for men, it's harder because a lot of the metrics they use for diagnosis and treatment are how like depression, anxiety and everything like shows itself in women. Because it's like due to literally sexism, there's like centuries of just sort of writing off quote unquote like hysterical women. But then people are like, hang on, maybe this is a psychological thing. Then like that's become like the baseline for everything. So like a lot of men exacerbate like and show like depression, anxiety, particularly with things like aggression.
Yeah.
When like it's just one of those things that it's just to try and help people understand, like it's part of your condition is making you maybe lash out or act that way and not.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not some weirdo, violent person. It's just, you know, how it shows. But it's hard because every year, like, we've said this, haven't we, before? Mm-hmm. Like, if we tried to do this show 5 years ago, maybe they would have let us give it a go.
Aye.
10 years ago, we'd have been laughed out of the building.
Yeah. 100%.
Aye, without a doubt, yeah.
So it's good in a way, like, the fact there's three blokes talking about it on air.
Yeah.
I have no problem talking about it with me, you know. Like, I really do. I think it helps me more than anything. And knowing that it's helping other people or maybe someone's going through the same experience, it's, I don't know. But I've never really had an issue with it. But I can imagine, it's like I was saying this last time I was on, when I, like, about the stigma about men and having to be macho and all the rest of it. It's not really, shouldn't be a thing.
No.
Shouldn't be a thing.
It definitely hasn't helped because I think me and you talking Hamish about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we are different generations, like there's a decade between us.
Yeah,
me and you are the same age, I think.
Yeah.
So like we came through with, you know, the idea of quote unquote like locker room talk and having to one up people and all that kind of stuff. And in a way, it's nice that everyone sort of coming through behind is slightly more, hopefully, empathetic and. You know, all that, but then the other side of that is, you know, we didn't have the whole manosphere thing kicking off when we were sort of our brains forming.
Yeah.
So it's the trade-off of, then you have now a group of men who feel hard done by and see some rise of feminism that hasn't really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And being influenced by the likes of the Tates. it's just something where once you sort of try and deal with one fire.
Yeah.
Another bigger one starts off.
Yeah.
I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney. And joining me, as always, is my favourite rotten soldier. I almost gave you my intro then. My rotten soldier, Hamish Smith.
How's it going, Rolly?
It's going well, mate. We have a doozy of a guest on with us today.
I was
going
to say we're having quite
the
doozy.
A doozy. Word that is.
Yeah, no, I went a bit Ned Flanders doozy. There. Yeah, we got Chinny in with us.
Yes.
If anyone knows the history of the show, Chinny was our first ever guest. So
it is a pleasure.
Yeah.
To be back.
Pleasure. Yeah.
He's, and it's been a good one.
A pleasure to have you.
If there was a third tool in our box, it would be Chinny.
Jake would be raging if he heard that.
Well, he's not here, is he? So
he's on the bus back from London. He went to see Lincoln Park yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that was fun.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, they were playing at Wembley, weren't they? And then, or the O2 or something. And then just across the Iron Maiden were playing at West Ham.
Wow.
That is mad.
Yeah. Busy day in London.
Yeah,
I've had a lot of mates at gigs yesterday. But we've been talking about Chinny's mental health. First off, again, like, thanks for coming on and thanks for being so open.
No worries, mate, it's always a pleasure to be open about these things. It's important. I think it's important for me to be able to speak out about it. It's important to, you know, show the people that you're not going through it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is some people out there, like, That's the first time probably I've ever went through what I went through, when I thought, oh my God, am I going crazy? I was getting the intrusive thoughts and wasn't sleeping and stuff like that. It totally threw us off, but turns out, just like always, it's my anxiety.
So before we went to Bob Dylan, you were saying that you found your coping mechanisms weren't like necessarily working.
Yeah.
How did you feel when...
Panic.
Yeah.
Just pure panic, which I think made a spiral even more in my head. Didn't really know what was going on. That's the best way to describe it. My emotions were all over the place, man. Like, really all over the place. I'm quite an emotional person anyway. Like, I'll sit and watch things on the TV and cry, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that sort of person, you know. But, yeah, it was really difficult time. The only thing I will say is, like, I genuinely thought I had it clocked and I knew exactly what my anxiety was about before, but, you know, it just goes to show you it can come creeping back, and it can come creeping back in all different forms. But, yeah, couldn't... All of them coping mechanisms that I had before just weren't really working. So, like I said before, ended up going to CBD. And speaking to Deb, who was lovely, by the way, some of the counselling services, and basically just said, give us a rundown of intrusive thoughts, what they were all about. Basically told us what I want to hear. Yeah. I went through three sessions and I walked out a different person. So, you know, if you are apprehensive about going to something like that, there's no shame in it. Get yourself there. And because they literally will know, well, they probably will know exactly what you're going through, you know?
Did you find any new coping mechanisms?
No, not really. Nothing that I haven't done before, because after I went through the CBD, I sort of went back to what I was doing, knowing that I wasn't going mental, and it was my anxiety playing a part in it, you know.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it was just went back to the drawing board. Again, like I said earlier on, it's helped that I've had some gigs booked and we've been working on new material with the band. Kids always keep us busy, and cereal ball bits and stuff like that as well, you know, as long as my mind's being occupied.
Yeah, I had seizure on my show,
a
couple of weeks ago. And you've been doing bits with him, haven't you?
Yes, we've got two songs wrote with him at the minute. We're hopefully going to get them recorded soon. We wanted to play one of them at the gig, but I just didn't want to practice the night before. I was shattered. I'd been to work all week, and I was just like, you know what, like,
you need the rest.
Yeah, just leave it for now, and we'll get back on that, because we had two gigs anyway that day. I just thought it was just too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll hear them soon enough, I'm sure.
Exciting.
And
they are brilliant. The songs are great.
We don't doubt it.
You may have to get Seizure back on now.
I'd love to.
Get us all on.
I mean that's
that'd
the
be
thing.
Fun in here, wouldn't it? Eh?
I mean, like, especially like the physical health side with Seizure, because he's epileptic.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, and
he goes through it, that boy. He's had some crazy times.
Yeah, I remember speaking to him like a few. I think it might have been like sort of over Christmas into the new year, and something had happened, and something like the story he told me, it was just like wow.
So it's just, yeah, like, I count myself lucky that way, that I don't have to, you know, have something that could flash up like that, where it is literally you're probably going to end up in hospital, or you're going to have some sort of, you know, bleed going on, or smashed teeth or broken bone, like anything can happen. As soon as you go through one of them, you know, you black out, and you,
I mean, especially for you with your health anxiety.
Yeah. Whoa, mate, like, honestly, somebody told me I had that, like, that would be it, I think.
by the cotton wool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you kind of answered it a little bit earlier on, but for someone else that is, you know, starting to feel this kind of way and, you know, potentially going through some of the things you were struggling with, what is the advice you've got for them?
If you think that you've heard that you've got these symptoms, or you feel like you don't really know what's going on, first port of call, I would say, is go and see your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would never say to somebody, oh, well, if it's health anxiety, you know, like, I would never say to somebody, well, don't go and get checked out, because that's the first thing you should be doing.
Yeah.
But any sort of anxiety, you know, there's a million different places out there you can go and get help with your mental health. I would say Andy Mann's Club's one of them.
Yeah, we love them here on the show.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are facilitators there. They're definitely brilliant to just go, and, you know, there'll be people there who understand what you've been through, or they'll have seen it all before. So that would be another port of call. But even if you truly don't know what's going on yourself, I would say, yeah, go see your GP. The one thing I would say don't do is research things online. Mm-hmm. Go online and start like Googling stuff and that, because that just makes it so much worse.
Yeah. Dr. Google, it's
a bad habit getting into
it. It's like, oh, like, yeah, I've got a twitchy eye. Oh, it's definitely cancer.
Aye.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not going to do good for anybody. So, yeah, that's one thing I would say definitely don't do.
You know, when your health anxiety was first kicking off, because a lot of men don't go to the doctors over like what they think is physical stuff.
Aye.
Did you also have that competing against you as well? Or were you straight, like, what were you like, sort of?
Yeah, I hate going to the doctor. I can't stand it. It's not about like a stigma or anything like that. It's just I don't really like what they could tell you when you get there.
Yeah.
Again, health anxiety.
Yeah.
This time around, I actually went to the doctor. I thought I was having a heart attack at one point. Couldn't catch my breath. That was the air hunger, though, you know. And I had all my blood tests done. All came back clear. Had a chest x-ray, had ACG, everything. All came back clear. So I thought to myself, well, it's got to be my anxiety. And then, obviously, I went to my GP. They were like, well, it must be as well. Tried to give us the tablets. Didn't want to do that. Then went to the therapy, and that was it from there. And I do feel a lot better now. Still a bit anxious on the morning when I get up. Definitely hasn't cleared, but a lot better than what I was. But yeah, to go back to your question, just make sure you're going through the right avenues. There's plenty of places there for you to go to get help. Or come and listen to us. Come and listen to the box.
Yeah, jump definitely on the show.
The podcast is out every Tuesday on all good podcatchers.
That's true.
Yeah. With you were saying before about things keeping busy, when you do have those like moments of quiet and calm, are they difficult for you to deal with?
Yes. Yeah. And then I'll start like trying to scramble to find stuff to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then I know that I'm scrambling to find stuff to do, so I've always got that in the back of my head. But yeah, I hate it. I hate anything like that. I'd rather either be at work doing something with the band, doing something with the kids, but if I do get 5 minutes to myself, it's probably the worst thing for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's the sort of most ridiculous things you filled your time with?
The most ridiculous things?
Yeah, were there anywhere you like, you find something to do where you like, where you know that you're just doing it to kill the time and it's a bit daft?
Doodling. I like to doodle a lot. It's like, I've got on my desk, I've got a pot full of Posca pens, you know, the paint pens.
Yeah.
And I've always got little bits of cardboard just hidden away under my desk. Mm-hmm. And I'll just pick one up and just start drawing something strange or doing shapes and colouring them in, stuff like that, you know. It's like, but then I'll realise I've been sitting there doing it for an hour and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, my God, what is that? You know, it's just like, it's just force of habit as well. I do it when I'm at work. Sometimes I'll just pick a bit of paper up, you know, so, yes.
Yeah, and as well, you're active with Cereal Bowl as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am. We've got lots of gigs coming up with Cereal Bowl, lots of releases coming up. Far too much to get into, far too much, because there's always, you know, and to be quite honest with you, I can't even remember. So, but yeah, just head over to our social, Cereal Bowl Records, get on our Bandcamp as well. We've got Diaz Brothers albums just released, which is fantastic.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Easily the best album I've heard this year.
Yeah.
Vinyls have just landed, so if you want to grab yourself a vinyl, do that. We've got some merch up on there, some t-shirts, stuff like that. We've also got some new Cereal Bowl merch dropping soon. So, yeah, and get yourself to the, any of the gigs that we've got coming up, because if you haven't been to one, they're brilliant.
Yeah, me and Hamish can both vouch for this, because we've seen Dad Watts quite a few times now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the music just alone.
Yeah.
It's like great.
Yeah, there's, well, it goes without saying, we know how much of a music city Sunderland is.
It's, yeah, I mean, we've got that music city status now, you know, which is absolutely brilliant. I think it's making huge changes to, it's getting eyes on the city. I think there was eyes on it before. You know, a lot of people don't really know, you know, like massive music culture here.
Mm-hmm.
Sunderland's got a big music history. For being like not as big a city as some other places, it really is. It's got some amazing history if you look into it, you know.
Yeah.
But I was going to go and say, like, the live show is a different beast altogether, though, for that about things.
Yeah.
That's our bread and butter, really, you know. But I do love recording songs and hearing them back, but, like, I think we've been told that a million times, it's all about the live experience. You didn't really know what you're going to get.
Yeah, there's
life
one thing,
is like a box of chocolates.
There's one thing I've got to ask, like, just, you know, being a football fan, but, you know, getting recognition off of the actual football team, what was that like?
Well, I'm a massive Sunderland fan.
That's why I'm asking.
huge Sunderland fan. Like, season ticket holder with me family for years. That was a surreal moment. Yeah. It was. I remember looking down at my phone and like just like notification after notification. I remember Frankie in the Heartstrings. He obviously has a lot to do with Sunderland. Does commentary on the games and works behind the scenes a lot of stuff. He asked us to put a playlist together for one of the away days we'd done. I think it was Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah. So I asked the lads a couple of songs from yours, created the playlist together. Didn't really know that there was going to be a post up from the Sunderland page.
Yeah.
So when I say that, I was like, you know, got the collaboration request from Sunderland FC. Bit wild to press accept on that, you know, the struggles the band's been through with censorship and stuff in the past. And but yeah, that was a great question, mate, because honestly, it brings us back. It was fantastic. But we know there is might be some things coming up in the future with the club, but I can't really see anything. But it was unreal.
Surreal, yeah.
Yeah, and Premier League, baby.
Premier League.
I didn't think you were going to do it. I went into work that day and I was like,
That was me at the Coventry game. Didn't think we were going to do it. Got through the Coventry game. Got to the final. I was like, I'm always doubtful, you know. Like, I know everyone's like, oh, have some hope, da-da-da, but I'm always doubtful, and that's why I go out and drink so much. Because I'm like, oh, you know, I know if I've had a good drink and stuff, I'll have a good day anyway. But that moment when, Watson's goal went in, slotted in from outside the box, sublime. And I just remember it was like slow motion. I was standing on a table in Chaplin's and I just saying it. I was like, there's no way. I just saying it hit the bottom corner, and I can't remember anything after that.
Yeah.
I just erupted. I remember Johnny out of the Ivy's glasses went flying up in the air, and I'm just seeing them hit the floor and smash. And I'm just going, me new glasses. But pints went flying up in the air. Jubilation, we were all chanting afterwards. There was flares going off, you know. We stopped some buses in the city with the flares, man. It was that much smoke in the outside. I would have loved to have went down, but unfortunately, I was working through the day.
To be fair, though, there were only about 15 people left in the city of Sunderland that weekend. So,
yeah.
Well, what we'll do is we'll go to we'll go from Sunderland Strike Force to another absolute Strike Force, Slalom D, Harbour Wars, and then we'll come back and we'll out the show.
Harbour Walls, Slalom D here on Spark. You are listening to The Toolbox, and it's sadly that time of the show. Rolly, it's our curtain closers.
It is, but we'll start by saying thanks to Chinny for coming in.
No problem at all. Again, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having us. Just said, really enjoyed it. Been a good show on it.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Been fantastic.
Just because the conversation stops doesn't mean the conversation stops. If you feel like you urgently need to speak to someone, the number for Samaritans is 116123. That's 116123.
There is two Andy's Man Clubs here in Sunderland, one on Kale Road and the other at the Beacon of Light. That is every Monday at 7 p.m. except bank holidays.
And there's also one in Hortley Spring as well. Just started on a Monday. Yeah. So there you go.
True. We've got three now.
I can add something there. Yes.
Yeah. We've got a new mantra.
Yeah, we do. And if you don't think 1 hour of me is enough as well, I also host Tuesday Home Time from 3 till 6, which is every Tuesday because it is Tuesday Home Time. Catch the podcast every Tuesday as well.
Happy days.
And we will see you next week.
Have a good one.
Bye.
I'm a man, and it's okay to feel overwhelmed.
I'm a man, and it's okay to cry.
I'm a man, and it's okay to ask for help.
I'm a man, and I don't need to be perfect.
This has been The Toolbox.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week at 10 p.m.